I want to go through 5 points here, similar to what we've been talking about in this series, about terms that are used for Bible things, things in the Bible, and, you know, not that all people do this, or people that use the wrong terms, but one reason they would use the wrong terms is they have an agenda, they have an opinion they want to support, and using the Bible term narrows it down to it takes their viewpoint out of the picture. So they use a wider term or a different term altogether. But let's start off by going through some scriptures. I've got six verses here. Three from Acts chapter 2. Let's look at Acts. I'll post them up here. Acts chapter 2, verse 16. Just an example. Sometimes this doesn't necessarily show that somebody has an opinion that they're trying to promote. It's just, it can just be a a wrong outlook of it. I don't know. Look at the verse. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Well, maybe, let me go back a few verses. We'll go back to verse 11, just so we, for context, so we know what, this is a list of, a long list of Jews from various places, and it says Cretes and Arabians, then it says, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Well, that's the only verse I know of that tells what tongues were for. It was proclaiming the wonderful works of God, that God had done something, some work that they needed to be aware of, and it was being told them in tongues because they were from other countries, and these 12 Jewish, some were tax collectors, some were fishermen, whatever, that were apostles, they were given the duty to preach this, to be witnesses of the resurrection. And coming down to verse 16 again, Peter stands up and he says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Well, the problem is, does anybody's translation or anybody's Bible, as you're looking at it in your own Bible, does anybody's say, but I think this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel? Mine doesn't. Mine has Peter, inspired of the Holy Ghost, proclaiming that this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. They were in the tribulation at that time. The beginning parts, as you know, if you've studied it much, you know the first 3.5 years are mild. Well, mild by whose standard? I mean, they were doing, the apostate Israel was doing a lot of, well, Stephen, for one thing, was killed. Saul went out trying to find others to kill. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. If you don't believe in the acceptable year of the Lord, you won't believe this verse, word for word as it stands, without injecting into there, he thought it was the beginning of the tribulation. He said it was under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. So I believe it, you know, and I also believe that that was, that first year became the acceptable year of the Lord, and no longer the tribulation. But let's go on. That's just an example that we slip into variances from what the word actually says. Let's look at Acts 2:22. And some of these I'm not going to spend too much time on. You men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. So those tongues as a sign were speaking the wonderful works of God, but they were to approve Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. Gives us definite reasons for the tongues, for the signs, the miracles. It showed that Jesus was the one they were looking for, the Messiah. Going on down to verse 36. Just a moment, I'll post it. Excuse me just a moment. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly. Again, who's he talking to? Many people, you know, we try to rightly divide the scriptures. We try to give to Israel what is Israel's, the gospel as well as the scriptures, and give to the body of Christ or to... Well, to the body of Christ, what's written to the body of Christ? But what was written to Israel was not written to Gentiles. Israel is non-Gentiles. So, well, where do we fit in? Oh, I got to fit in somewhere. God wouldn't leave me without salvation. You can't just make yourself be Judah or Israel or Jerusalem inhabitants. You can't just, you know, say, God loves me, so that's what I am. You have to find who God sent to you. What's a sent out person? What's that mean? A sent out one is what the Bible calls an apostle. That's what an apostle means, apostello, a sent out one. So, these verses, this whole second chapter, you can't use it for your own salvation. It wasn't spoken to you or about you. It was Israel, an event for Israel. They rejected their Messiah, and they had a turnaround. Yeah, some of them, the little flock led by the 12 apostles. Apostate Israel still persecuted them, though. Acts 2:36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So they ignore that it was the clear words of this verse, let all the house of Israel know, they ignore it. You know, they say, well, that's me. They're afraid to accept the Bible for what it says for fear that what they've been thinking was their salvation will be wiped out and they'll be without any safety. So let's go on. Galatians 1:11, familiar verse, often used. Hi, Targeted. Welcome to the room. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. So it's not man's word. It's not something was told him. Gospel means good news. It can also, what's the other term that means the same thing? Something about spell, God's spell, I guess. I'm not sure of the direct derivation of that. It may not even be part of that word, God's spell. But we know that it means good news. It was preached. That's speaking again. That's the word. You hear him talk. What was his word? His word was, I certify you, brethren, the gospel which was preached of me. So his word was the gospel. What he preached was what they needed to hear and believe to be saved. Okay, this is Paul talking here. No, this is not Peter anymore in Acts 2. This is Paul after he was saved. And he says, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. And what I'm concentrating on here, what I'm seeing, is the word which is not in the text, but as you think of a word, it's an expression, it's telling you facts, instructions, what you need to know. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel, that good news which I spoke, which was preached of me, is not after me. Okay, go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 1, often used in conjunction with that verse we just read. Let me post it up here. Mine's not scrolling again. All right. This is a faithful saying. This is 1 Timothy. Did I say 2 Timothy? 1 Timothy, yeah. 1 Timothy 1, 15 and 16. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. In other words, everybody should accept it, that Christ Jesus came into the world. Why? To save sinners, of whom I am chief. Well, that's welcome to the room. That's different. It's if Paul was the first, that word chief is in the next verse is translated first. In me first. It's the same word as him using the word chief there. Is that? No, that's not in my ears. I lost my train of thought. chief, yeah. He was the first saved as a sinner rather than a law abider or someone, Isaiah 8, I think it's 8 or 18, where it talks about if someone that's been profligate or whatever and not caring about God, if they repent, change their mind, and come back to God, he will forget their evil ways. Well, that was all Israel's doctrine. People try to apply that today. It doesn't work. But that was part of Israel. Here, he's saying he was the first that wasn't saved by being good. He was saved as a sinner, the first one saved as a sinner, with Christ's righteousness imputed to him. Now, that's not all in that verse. It's in other verses, too. But his capsulation of it is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, first. I'm the head of the line. Amen. Okay, and then he goes into the next verse and he says, how be it? In other words, I take that to mean because of this, this is, you know, be is, I don't want to get into that too much, but how be it, because of this, for this cause I obtained mercy that in me first, there's that word that's translated chief in the verse before it, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering. And he suffered a long time with Paul instead of wiping him out or limiting him. I should say with Saul of Tarsus. Even through those bringing up years under Gamaliel, he was heading for what he did there in Acts 7. The stoning of Stephen. All that time he was studying, he had in mind, you know, a certain being, a certain individual that would come, and I guess like Judas, he thought he would come like a king if he was really Jesus. I don't know. That's just a guess. That's not scripture. How Saul of Tarsus was thinking that Jesus would come. But he goes on and he says, in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter, so there's a breaking point, a starting point, after Paul, hereafter, believe on him to life everlasting. That's what you believe for life everlasting, on Christ. Believe that Christ did it for you, arranged it, worked it out for you. And there's other places that tell he died for our sins. He was delivered for our offenses. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter. So we mentioned it was that was a starting point, but it was a pattern. That's the way we come to God now, by trusting, believing on Him to life everlasting, believing that He died for this sinner, this bankrupt, spiritually bankrupt person cannot make my way to heaven, cannot make myself better, cannot make myself as good as God. He died my death that was should have come to me. Spiritual death, not, you know, talking about the second death. I think I must have missed something in text here. But anyway, that's the first point. Let's go on to the second point. If you have an understanding of what right division is, good. If you don't, let me just briefly, it's not throwing away parts of the scripture or anything like that. It's not, well, what it is dividing the way God, rightly so, right, the right way to do it is the way God had it written for us. How did He divide them? He divided it to, you know, Moses didn't say, okay, we're going to get out of Egypt and we're going to build an ark. Even though God did tell Noah hundreds of years before to build an ark to be saved from his wrath in the flood, that's not what He gave Moses to do. There was a different dispensing of God's grace, God's mercy, God's salvation. And so you get to Acts 7, and Israel's ministration of death, their way to come to God through the covenant, believing the covenants, believing the commandments, keeping the Sabbath, keeping the circumcision, all these things that they had to do, as well as believe that the Lord was sending a prophet like unto Moses. And when He came, He was Jesus Christ, and they didn't accept Him. They broke the law. But anyway, that all ended in Acts 7 when Israel fell, for the nation anyway, and they diminished through the rest of Acts until they were cast away. And then, you know, when Paul was saved as the first person saved that way, he was saved into the body of Christ. And the writings that are to us are divided from the writings and gospel to Israel before Paul was saved. So Paul is kind of the dividing line. And a verse that says that briefly is Galatians 2, verse 9. Let me just post that. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, unto me, that's Paul speaking, they gave to me and to Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen. Well, that's who they were charged with going to. That we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So they're dropping their going into all the world for now, because Paul was sent there. And they are sticking with the circumcision. That's what they're saying. So this, we need to rightly divide the scriptures. What was written to Israel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts 1 through 7, it doesn't apply to us. Doesn't mean that, you know, if it says in the law, thou shalt not kill, it doesn't mean that it's good now to kill. Nobody said that. You know, your imaginations can run wild sometimes, but it's that's not the criteria anymore by which God looks at us to determine whether we're in His body, the body of Christ, or not. The criteria is, are you trusting Christ to have died for your sins when He died on the cross? Was it your sins he was dying for, or you think he was a sinner and dying for his own sins? Or do you think that he just, you know, he can die for other people's, but I'm not good enough, or I'm almost good enough to that he didn't need to die for me, or whatever you may conjure up in your mind. The point is, the criteria that God uses now is, do you believe that Christ died for your sins and was buried and rose again the third day? That's right division, as I understand it. It's talking, well, let's put the verse up there. The Bible does mention it without too much explanation, except, you know, it's explained in Galatians 2:9. It's explained in Acts 13:39. But let's look at where it actually says the term rightly dividing. By the way, there are other verses that talk about making judgments, determine, things that are excellent, is that it? That little book's title? Things that differ. Yeah, these do differ. But anyway, that's kind of funny because he titled the book that, and that's not not what he's talking about. When it says things that you can determine or make judgment on, things that differ, he was talking about something a little different than what we're talking about here. But anyway, mid-acts, the term mid-acts, of course, it's not found in the scripture because Acts was just being written by historian, inspired historian Luke. But mid-Acts is a product of right division. The mid-Acts thinking today, when people say I'm mid-Acts dispensational, that thinking is a product of rightly dividing between Israel and the body of Christ. The mystery of Christ, not just the body of Christ. The body of Christ is just a part of the mystery or the secret that Christ kept all that time and then revealed to Paul, or started revealing to Paul and continued through Acts. Look at Acts, I'll post it, Acts 28, verse 25. 25. You can tell I'm not a gamer. They got such quick mouse fingers, and it just takes me a while. It jumps back and forth past the word. All right, here's the verse. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers. And he goes into this reading the Isaiah 6, casting away curse to Israel, and that's the end of Israel until the body of Christ is caught up and Israel's time clock begins again at that 70th week of years, 7 years coming after the catching up of the body of Christ. But what I want us to see in this verse, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. It was a message from Paul. It was news that he was giving them. That's what the word was. That's the meaning of the word there. So, with that in mind, look at 2 Timothy 2:15 again. 2 Timothy 2:15. In fact, did we read it before? I might not even have read it. Let's read it this time. Study to show thyself approved unto God, not approved for salvation, but approved as a workman. That, not working for your salvation either, a student, studying, in other words. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. You'd be ashamed if you weren't rightly divided, if you divided it some other way. So, What are they to divide? The word of truth. Well, we know from Ephesians 1:13, the word of truth is the gospel of your salvation. But applying what we saw there in Acts 28:25, that the word is a message, it's instructions or news, like we say, the gospel changed its name when it changed its audience, changed the name from Gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek, changed it, same gospel message, same gospel word, but it became the gospel of the grace of God when it was sent to all people. Not that it wasn't preached to all people before then or told them, but the sending was to all people. So you've got a difference in the writing of the epistles. It's those epistles are to all men. The gospel in the epistles is preached to all people. So before then, it was to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And there was soft sell, kind of, that thought. What is the word I'm looking for there? It's not a scriptural term, again, but I can't think of another term that the scripture uses, but they were, Paul and Barnabas and Silas were to court Israel into the body of Christ. Romans 11:5. They were to be, you know, there was a remnant according to the election or choice of grace. And they were sent out, Paul was sent out to reap this remnant, to harvest this remnant into the body of Christ. Remnant is talking about a small believing part of Israel. That Israel was apostate, and there were some that believed, and that was the prophetic remnant, the 12 apostles, the little flock. But Romans 11:5 and 6 is talking about a remnant according to the election of grace that was called into the body of Christ. Well, conversion is a general term because it's used also for Peter when you are converted, and the conversion of the Gentiles would be in the mystery of Christ, but I'm trying to think where it is. Oh, be converted. I think it's in Acts 2, isn't it Acts 2, 38 or 39, something like that. Anyway, let's go on. I didn't mean for it to take this long, but I'm on point three. So the point is, in 2 Timothy 2:15, the word there is that message. The word of truth is the information. It's the communication. Let's go on to part four here. I think I'm hoping that when I finish, it'll come together and make some, at least a little more sense than before. I hope I'm not making it worse for anybody. Romans 11:13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. So, who is the apostle of the Gentiles? There were other apostles that worked with him, apostles, sent out ones, but there's only one that's titled by Jesus Christ as the apostle of the Gentiles, Paul. So, let's go to the fifth point, the last point. Mid-Acts dispensationalism equals mid-Acts word, mid-Acts gospel of salvation. That's what's being dispensed. That's the word from God, is how to be saved. It's the gospel of salvation in the middle of Acts. What is the gospel of salvation in the middle of Acts? Before Paul was sent in Acts 20 or Acts 28, whichever way you look at it, before he was sent to all people, he was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Look at Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16. Get it to post. There it is. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Here Paul is writing at Acts 20, at the time period of Acts 20. And he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He's still preaching the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I've heard that read, and they would just stop it, to everyone that believeth, and would not include to the Jew first and also to the Greek, which is an important word of God there. I mean, it's part of the definition of the gospel of Christ. So, in mid-Acts, the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek is the word, is the message that's being presented. How to be saved? By believing. Well, it's 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 again, yes. But it was to those Jews and those that came to God, the Gentiles that came to God through the Jews, through the nation of Israel, and the covenants that they were under. They're called Greeks. They were seeking the wisdom and knowledge of God. And that was what the Greeks did back then. They were seeking the wisdom and knowledge of God. Welcome, Vic. So, the final thought here is that if mid-Acts dispensationalism is the previous dispensationalism, dispensing of God and His word of salvation, then there's something going wrong there. I mean, if during mid-Acts is to the Jew first and also to the Greek, why do they call themselves mid-Acts dispensationalists now? We should be post-Acts dispensationalists. That's what I am, if I have to put a name to it. So think about it. Think about it. The word, the message was the same message, but the sending was to different people. Mid-Acts, Paul had not yet been sent to people like us, to any Gentiles. He was told that he would be sent to them. He was told that would be part of his life later on in Acts 9, 15, and 16. And he reported to, I think it was King Agrippa in Acts 26, that Christ was sending him to the people, sending him to the people and, that's Israel, the people and the Gentiles to whom I'm sending. Well, he was sending him, how's that verse go? The ones that he would deliver him from. Let me get the verse and we'll read it and get it exactly as God had it recorded for us. 26, 16, and 17. But rise, stand upon thy feet. This is Jesus talking to Paul. Stand upon thy feet. Let me give a little more background. It's Jesus from heaven appearing as a bright light. I shouldn't say from heaven. He had gone to heaven, and he was appearing to Paul as a bright light right in front of him and apprehending him, actually. And this was on the road to Damascus. Stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Why did he appear to Paul? To make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. There's further revelation coming later. Delivering thee from the people and the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Who's he delivered from? The people and the Gentiles that he is being sent to. Who's he being sent to? The people and the Gentiles that Christ delivers him from. So, that's a narrow group. That's those people that hounded him on that trail that he took through Lystra, Lystra. I can't think of the other ones. Antioch of Pisidia. I'm not going to go look at them. They're there. I forget the term, whether it was Derbe or Perga. There was a string of about three or four cities that he went through there that they came after. In fact, they killed him. They stoned him. And Jewish law says they're stoned until dead. And then he raised up after they left. He raised up and they went to the next town and preached the gospel again. But there's one other place where it sounds like he's, you know, you can, if you're looking for a reason to say that he was sent to all people early on, before the end of Acts, there's one other place that they turn to, but it again is talking about those specific Gentiles. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall is salvation come to the Gentiles. So by the time he wrote this in Acts 20, salvation had come to the Gentiles. Israel had fallen. Through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles. Tells which Gentiles next? For to provoke them, provoke Israel to jealousy. Which ones could provoke Israel to jealousy? It's not us. They don't know anything about us. Israel could be provoked to jealousy by those Greeks in their synagogues, coming and worshiping, and then finding or hearing that Paul said that Jesus is the Son of God, risen from the dead, and they believed it, and they got to hear that Christ died for their sins. So, the point is that using wrong terms sometimes has an ill motive to it. I'm not living by the dispensing that went on in mid-Acts, which was to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm living by the dispensation or dispensing of salvation that came after the end of Acts. That Paul, is that tape on your mouth? I thought you were talking to me. Sorry about that. Anyway, that's the conclusion I draw from that. So, any comments?